It's been well over 2 years since the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Citizen involvement in both building and ensuring a stronger, more viable community remains strong. The organization Forward Through Ferguson, which is charged with following through on Ferguson Commission recommendations for community improvement, is adding members. The Ferguson Collaborative, an organization of concerned citizens, has been sponsoring community gatherings to assess where Ferguson is today and the community needs to go. A town hall is scheduled Sunday called Re-Envisioning Public Safety. More on that a little bit later. Joining me in studio are Felicia Pulliam, a former Ferguson Commission member and former Ferguson resident. Emily Davis is a resident of Ferguson. Both are Ferguson Collaborative members. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me begin with you, Felicia, because I think there may be a little bit of confusion on the part of some people with regard to all these organizations. I mean, we've got the Ferguson Collaborative, your organization, the Ferguson Commission, and Forward Through Ferguson.
Yes.
Where does the Collaborative stand in the middle of all of this?
Well, the Ferguson Collaborative is a group of citizens and activists that found themselves in the same space pursuing the same goals and decided that they would bring their organizations together, because they're representatives of organizations that have been in the work, to advance a common agenda and support each other in the work. Of course, the Ferguson Commission was appointed by the governor, and we released the Forward Through Ferguson, a Pathway to Racial Equity report last year, the anniversary of the release being on the 14th of September this year. Very, very proud of that work. Now, while we were engaged in that work and coming to the end of it, community said, this is wonderful. We know what the problems are. You've told us what to do. Who's going to do it? You should do this. Well, of course, it wasn't our charge, but we, holding on to the principle of accountability to community, we heard them, and the commission courageously took the next step to organize Forward Through Ferguson as a nonprofit agency, an independent agency, to do the work. So five commissioners stepped forward to be the organizing board, to stand up the organization, and three of our former staff members stepped into the role and said, we will wake up every day thinking about racial equity, advancing the work, and coordinating it on behalf of community. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to do it, and we know that we are the only commission that has organized an entity to advance the work and continue it. So it's a grand experiment. It's going wonderfully.
Emily, it's an organic effort is what I'm getting out of all of this, is citizens grassroots kind of organization.
Absolutely. It was a combination of residents, teachers, clergy, representatives of organizations that came together to lift up the voices of the people who have been most affected by unconstitutional policing in Ferguson, largely the Black and working class community, mm-hmm. and to empower people in our community to make different choices for the community.
How would you assess, I'll ask you first, Emily, then come back to Felicia, how would you assess the mood of residents 2 years later, after all that's gone on, all the commissions, all the reports, all the consent decrees?
I think there's a lot of frustration and sort of that beginning to feel like things aren't changing. Things are changing very slowly and very much behind closed doors. There's not really any increased transparency. And so the community largely doesn't feel that anything has changed, and those changes that have happened tend to not actually change life for people on the ground. They're up somewhere where if you're not aware of what some of those changes have been with the municipal court system, some of the sort of that the changes in practices with the fines and the fees, that you don't know that's changed, and so it doesn't change your life, and it certainly doesn't change how you're affected by policing in Ferguson. A lot, we're still having a lot of the same issues with the way people are treated.
Felicia, your take on that?
I agree with Emily. I appreciate that community has stayed in it, lifting up their voices. Without that commitment to civic engagement, we can't anticipate that things will change. It is happening very slowly. There is resistance from various fronts to doing anything differently. I mean, we have to admit that the system works really well for the people it's designed to work well for. And it's the marginalized, the oppressed, the voiceless in our community that are bearing the brunt of the predatory policing and unconstitutional municipal court practices. And the evolution, the transformation that we need will come about because citizens have stayed at the table and continue to demand and agitate for it. It is coming along slowly. But I will have to say that new coalitions, new strategic partnerships, new ways of engaging, new ways of opening up the table to include more voices and more perspectives. That's the work of Forward Through Ferguson, and they're doing a fantastic job regionally. It will take time to build those coalitions and those partnerships. It will take time to get the strategies in place, and it will take time to make sure that we have the political changes and the policy and practice changes. We have to change people's minds, their hearts, and their behaviors. And it's not quick, but because people have been suffering for so long, they're very, very frustrated by the slow snail pace of transformation.
But Emily, change has been mandated. I mean, we've got the consent decree, we've got the changes in the caps on the fines and fees in the court system. You seem to be suggesting that it's not taking place, it's not happening.
Change has been mandated. Again, it is slow and it doesn't always trickle down to the actual community. But as we saw through the whole process of negotiating the agreement with the Department of Justice and getting that signed in Ferguson, that there has been a lot of resistance from our city government. They did reject it originally, and we got sued by the United States of America. And so although that change is happening, that feels to a large percentage of the community that Ferguson is being forced to change under duress rather than embracing that change that would make the community a safer and healthier place to live.
Right. Felicia, do you want to weigh in on that part of it?
I absolutely agree with Emily. The invitation to participate has to be authentic. Yeah. The relationships that are needed have to be truthful and honest and include people that have been excluded. Those invitations don't appear and they don't feel authentic. I mean, last week you didn't like me, and this week because someone told you that you have to work with me, now you're here. And I can see that you're not happy about it, you're not open to it, you're not embracing it. And until we get to a point that we have mutually beneficial, lively, honest, truthful, welcoming to a broader base of citizens and participants in the process, it is frustrating.
What is the biggest challenge right now with all of this? I mean, there are so many fronts we go on, but as you see it, what's the big challenge?
I think that we yet don't have a declaration and a building of strength, will, and courage to change. I think that we're still working on educating the community on the conditions that are in the most oppressed, distressed components of our community, helping people bridge that understanding so that they recognize that it's a detriment to all of us and that investing in human capital development, investing in education, investing in creating jobs and lifting people out of poverty makes the community stronger, better, healthier for everyone. So just so people can understand, this is a win-win. It isn't a one-sided operation or proposition.
What do you think, Emily, with regard to the biggest challenge you're facing? I'm sure you two are pretty much in lockstep on these things, obviously.
We are. Yeah. I think that there are certainly several challenges, that it is sort of that resistance and the lack of transparency that continues from our city government. And it is a disenchantment of the community with the way that things have gone for the last 2 years. You would kind of expected that the city would have said, you know what, we see this. We hear your experiences. We see this we see all these problems from the report from the Department of Justice investigation. We want to change. Let's make this different. Let's make this better.
Right. So where do you take this? I mean, it's one thing to come on the radio and talk about it, and it's another thing to have meetings. But where do you take it to really make something happen?
Well, you take it to the people, and I'm really glad that you asked that, because that's what I've been sitting here thinking, is that this is really an opportune time, particularly in the city of Ferguson, to make some significant changes. Our police force is significantly down. We are down to maybe 36 officers, and there's a lot of concern from city government and certain residents that we don't have enough officers to police our city safely. And so right now, that's exactly what the collaborative is doing, is trying to bring these issues to the people and raise up the voices of the people to make these changes.
You want the people to say we're mad as hell and we're not going to take this anymore, like the old movie?
Well, I think people have already done that. I think we saw that in Ferguson. Yeah. What we want now...
Are we heading back in that direction?
You know, I hate to say that it feels often like we're sitting on a powder keg, because we haven't acknowledged publicly the problems that we have. And so until the public sees that, I think there's going to be a lot of concern about that. But the collaborative, we are holding this town hall particularly to talk about, what do we do now? How do we change this, to change our system of policing, to re-envision that public safety and what that means? That doesn't mean occupying and policing Black communities. That means giving people the strategies and the power to envision other ways of what public safety looks like, how education changes, how healthcare changes, what you actually need police to do and what you don't need them to do. And so that's exciting that we can start on that work.
Felicia, do you feel this powder keg potential?
I know that people are frustrated, people are tired. It's been an exhausting 2 years, but I believe that folks are hopeful. They hope that we can get this done. They're not backing away from their demand for transformation. The meeting on Sunday will give citizens an opportunity to do just that, reimagine what public safety means. Do we actually need more police officers? Can we pull from some places in that budget that was used for policing and invested in other places that make people's lives better, make them more productive, reduce the anxiety, the stress, the tension in community, so that people have a healthier, happier life, healthier, happier people aren't subject to the same kinds of stresses and strains that lead to the oppressive policing. That's the first thing. Where can we invest to improve the conditions of folks, plain old folks, in their everyday lives? And the other thing is, people need to know that they can trust that the change is there. When you have decades of these abusive practices, it's hard to say, okay, it's all right now, it's going to be okay. We have to develop the relationship that's built on mutual respect and trust, so that community can work along with police to make things safer and better for everyone.
What about the relationship amongst the people themselves, specifically between African-American Ferguson residents and white Ferguson residents? How is that going? I mean, is that a good relationship? Is it one that has been hurt by what's happened in the last 2 years? Is it one that was okay before the Michael Brown shooting, and that people don't realize that blacks and whites got along very well before all of that happened? Emily, you look like you want to pass the ball, but it's your turn.
Well, it's a really monolithic question, and I don't think you can possibly answer that for everyone. I will say that as far as what the relationship was like before, you could say that the black and white residents got along together, but I also think that was a very superficial relationship. You know, how's the weather? What's your grass look like? How are the kids doing? That it didn't go deeper than that. I can sincerely say that the white residents of Ferguson were certainly not paying attention to how the black residents of Ferguson were being treated by the police that we were giving the power to police our communities.
And so that caught by surprise.
They were, and we shouldn't have been. We should have been paying attention. And so I think, you know, once that was brought to light, there are a lot of the white residents who were feeling very uncomfortable, and some in that discomfort tend to walk away and get angry, which has harmed relationships. Other people have said, I need to know, I need to be paying attention. I should have been doing something differently, and sort of begin to learn and listen in that process. And so that has helped some relationships.
Felicia, from your perspective, do you see it the same way?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I think that the relationships are more honest. I think they're deeper, more sincere, that we're learning to understand each other better, that across the board, people are looking at the lived experience and seeing what those disparities are, recognizing what that means on a day-to-day basis, and taking responsibility for it. You know, some people are saying, like Emily just said, I am responsible for this. This is my community. These are my neighbors. I didn't know this was going on. And so the new relationships, the new Ferguson that the Ferguson Collaborative and just citizens generally have been working so hard to build is our future. It's not easy. No relationships are easy, right? But if you continue to work on them, you know each other, you learn more, you build more trust, more rapport, and things just progress.
How many members do you have in the collaborative, and how many, what percentage would you guess are young people?
It's a really fluid group, so it's a little bit hard to tag down the number of members. We usually run anywhere from about probably 10 to 20 people at our meetings. And how many young people? I think that is something that we and many organizations and everyone in Ferguson struggles with, is that how to engage the young people. We're not good at going to them and listening to them. So I would say our percentage of young people, depending on your definition of young, is pretty low. You know, we do struggle with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, the young people who are in the streets are who I'm thinking of. I mean, there's a lot of energy there, and there are a lot of smart young people who are out there and raising voices and got Black Lives Matter going. And it seems to me that if anything's going to be successful, they have to be a big part of it. They have to be tapped into. That energy has to be a part of it. Felicia?
Oh, yes. It continues to be exciting and dynamic and kinetic, and that energy is really important. And Sunday is a real attempt to invite young people to talk with us and actually tell us, remind us again, what is it? Let's prioritize these goals, and how do we step forward? How do we support that for young people in the community? We're hoping that more young people will come out. This is our attempt to say, hey, we've organized this. We've got this opportunity. We're listening. We're going to chronicle it. A lot has been said and done, but let's walk across the bridge and work together in new ways.
It is your future, in other words, young people. Let's get involved, right?
It's their future, and we want to be there to support them.
Let me point out the town hall that we've been talking about, titled Re-Envisioning Public Safety, is going to be held this Sunday, as has been mentioned, at the Koch Elementary School. It begins at 2 o'clock with a social gathering, I guess, from what I can make of it.
Yes.
There's going to be some food there, I understand, which will help bring some people in. It always does. The actual meeting will get underway at 3:30 and will run until 5 o'clock. What about the image of Ferguson throughout all of this? I'd like to get your take on that. Emily, I'll start with you. It's been raked through the coals across the world for the last couple of years. What's your response to that, and how does that make you feel and react to your community?
It gives me sort of a variety of feelings. You know, there are times when it seems that the portrayal of Ferguson is unfair, when we get portrayed as a burned out ghetto run by a bunch of thugs. It's untrue, and that's the part that bothers me. At the same time, Ferguson has some very real problems, and those problems are certainly not limited to Ferguson. They are national problems, and you know, the spark that Ferguson kindled in the rest of the nation is extremely significant. And so because some of our problems aren't changing, I want people to keep looking at us. We need that spotlight to continue on us. And we need that continued awakening around our country. So I think it's really important that people are continuing to look, and that I think Ferguson brought to light the problems that are obvious in our country with policing and oppressed communities. And so I both like the attention and sometimes feel a little defensive of what is, you know, a beautiful community of a lot of caring and committed people.
Felicia Ferguson has become a national symbol.
It certainly has. The good thing about what happened is the attention and the confirmation, the affirmation of what people have been yelling about, writing about, singing songs about, writing plays about. Is the racism, systemic and institutional oppression, the structures of society that don't allow people to live into their potential. And it is across the country, across the board. And so that attention, the conversations, the organizing around those activities, the new building of coalitions, the education of the majority community to recognize that these complaints are real, all of that has been extremely important. And so in that regard, I am proud of Ferguson for being the community. I am so proud of the young people, of my neighbors, and all of the activists to say we're just not going to take it anymore. We're better than this. We believe that things can be done differently, and we're going to step up and show up and continue to work together until we all have the kind of community that we deserve.
Yes.
They're high-fiving everybody. Yeah. They're high-fiving. What do people outside of your community say when you tell them that you're from Ferguson?
So I was talking about this with a friend the other day, and I think some of us get different responses. You know, usually when people say that to me, it's usually white people who say it to me. And they usually say, have things calmed down in Ferguson? Or I get a lot of sympathy for being from Ferguson. Oh, I'm so sorry. That must be awful. And so, you know, my response is, well, things have sort of calmed down on the surface, but we haven't made the changes that we need to make. So it hasn't fixed anything yet. And that's generally what I get. Right. In public when I tell people that.
Only a few seconds left. Are there other organizations like yours, maybe smaller, maybe larger, that people just generally don't know about that are having meetings and doing the kinds of things you're doing? And very quickly, is there going to be a legislative effort this year to get the legislators to act on some of these things that they haven't acted upon? Very quickly.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the members of the Ferguson Collaborative actually represent organizations. Mm-hmm. And so we've got ACLU, we've got Organization for Black Struggle, MORE, One Ferguson. There are organizations that make up the collaborative. Right. So it's when we have those meetings of 10 to 20 people, that information gets pushed out into other organizations. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say new partnerships.
Folks can learn more about this Sunday at your town hall meeting at Koch Elementary School. Social events at 2 o'clock. The actual meeting is going to begin at 3:30. Felicia Pulliam, thank you. Pulliam, thank you for being with us. And Emily Davis, thank you so much for being with us, bringing us up to speed on Ferguson. Great talking
to
you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is production and produced, I should say, by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with the production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Natalie Martinez, and Spencer Reed. Executive producers Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air, funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Thanks for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.